KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy to cloudy. We're at 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 68. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this hour, repairs and improvements on Council Bluffs River and creek levees could cost that city $50 million. The Daily Nonpareil says the estimate comes from a study on the work needed to repair river and creek levees to meet federal standards. City engineer Matt Cox says the improvements are necessary to have the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, certify that the city's levee systems are adequate. Without that certification, FEMA could or would withdraw its redraw its city maps and show the entire west side of the city could be prone to flooding. Hancock says that would force the property owners there to pay high flood insurance rates. He intends to ask the city council today to approve hiring an engineering firm to oversee the work. News time is 8:01.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star in Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV Store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
Police in Lenox arrested one person late Sunday morning on a felony burglary charge. Authorities say officers were called to an address on North Main Street in reference to an assault. An investigation determined 18-year-old Jesus Alvarez of Lenox allegedly kicked in a door and assaulted a male in the home. Alvarez was seen running from the area when the officer responded. The teen was located at his home and arrested by officers of the Lenox Police Department and deputies with the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. He was charged with burglary in the first degree, a Class B felony, and transported to the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. Authorities in Lenox reports sheriff's deputies in Union County, South Dakota, have arrested one person on a Lenox Police Department warrant for felony harassment and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of stalking. 40-year-old Chad Sager of Beresford, South Dakota, was arrested Thursday after deputies were called to a residence in rural Beresford with regard to a domestic dispute. Sager waived extradition at a court appearance on Friday. He was transported back to Iowa by officers with the Lenox Police Department on March the 8th and is currently being held in the Adams County Jail on a bond warrant. No bond was set for that. An investigation continues and additional charges are possible. The charges originating in Lenox stem from a 5-month-long investigation during which Sager is alleged to have stalked and harassed a female who lives in Lenox. The Lenox Police Department was assisted in its investigation by the Taylor County Sheriff's Office, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigations Cyber Crimes Unit, the Delaware State Police, the San Diego, California Police Department, and the Florida Division of Law Enforcement. Well, the Audubon City Council is expected to act this evening on the consideration of an applications for and the appointment of a city clerk. At least 6 applications from persons interested in the position had been received as of early last week. At its January 13th meeting, the Audubon City Council voted to appoint Janet Nelson to fill the position instead of reappointing longtime clerk Laura Hansen. But Nelson later turned down the job, and the council voted on January 27th to leave Hansen in the position until it could get legal advice on hiring an interim clerk. On February 9th, the council voted to nullify the action it took on January 13th and opted to have Hansen serve instead as the holdover clerk, while at the same time seeking applications for her possible successor or an interim clerk. Action on the appointment of a city clerk or interim city clerk was tabled because, as with the January 13th meeting, there was not sufficient notice of publication of the council's intent. Audubon County Attorney Francine Anderson has said she is considering filing a complaint with the Iowa Public Information Board regarding a possible violation of the state's open meetings law by the Audubon City Council, mayor, and city attorney. Anderson said in a letter dated February 28 that she had been conducting a low-key review and investigation of matters related to the controversial and possible illegal firing of the Audubon city clerk in January, and had concluded that there is probable cause to believe violations of open meetings and public records laws have taken place. In other business, the Audubon City Council tonight will hold a public hearing on the fiscal year 2014-2015 budget, followed by action on a resolution approving the budget. They will also act on a motion to set the date for a public hearing on accepting a purchase agreement for the property at 408 Market Street and authorize the mayor to execute any and all documents needed to finalize the purchase, including but not limited to the deed in lieu of condemnation. The hearing is expected to take place March 24th at 7 p.m. The Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will meet this evening at the High School Media Center beginning at 7:30. On their agenda is a special presentation with regard to the Friend-to-Friend program and action on approving resignations, recommendations with regard to the 2014-2015 district calendar and snow makeup days schedule. Following their February 10th meeting, Superintendent Mike Amstein had said those days will be added to the end of this current school year, which will mean classes would dismiss May 23rd instead of May 21st, assuming there were no more makeup days due to the weather. Since then, however, the district has missed some time because of both snow and cold weather. In other business, the Atlantic School Board tonight will update the facility use fee schedule and act on a district early retirement proposal, the termination of the head tennis coach's contract, the hiring of a one-to-one special education paraprofessional, and they'll then discuss the 2014-2015 budget, as well as review the district's one-to-one computer proposal. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a submerged pickup has been found at Snyder Bend Park, which is near Salix in northwest Iowa. The Sioux City Journal says a park ranger saw the truck at around 4:30 p.m. Sunday. Sergeant Don Armstrong with the Woodbury County Sheriff's Office said the pickup belonged to Ronald Matheson of Sioux City. Matheson told officers that he'd been ice fishing Saturday night when the ice started to break up beneath him and the truck. He was able to get away before his truck plunged into the water. Recovery of the vehicle could come as early as today. A 21-year-old man was briefly hospitalized after a snowmobile collided with another in a Mason City field. Mason City Globe-Gazette said the accident was reported a little before 6 p.m. Saturday on land owned by Ag Processing Incorporated. Police say Devin Geis was snowmobiling with 51-year-old Daniel Cobain and 53-year-old Larry Paulson when Geis's machine collided with Cobain's. Geis was taken to Mercy Medical Center North Iowa for treatment before being released. A report from the Iowa Healthcare Collaborative, or IHC, claims that hospitals across the state that participate in a program designed to reduce medical errors prevented potential harm to more than 4,300 patients last year. Scott McIntyre, a spokesman for the Iowa Hospital Association, said the effort is part of the Federal Partnership for Patients initiative with the goals of reducing harm by 40% and hospital readmissions by 20%.
And we just feel that there's been some very positive, very noteworthy progress on improving these, and in reality we're keeping people out of the hospital, we're saving patient days, and we're saving lives.
The report estimates at least 32 lives were saved in Iowa in 2013 because of the Hospital Engagement Network, or HEN. The Iowa-based HEN, which includes 12 hospitals in Illinois and Nebraska, also reduced health care costs, according to McIntyre.
And our estimate, based on the formula we've worked up, is about $51 million has been saved because of the improvements in these quality measures.
In addition to reducing costs, McIntyre says the Iowa HEN reduced the time that patients spent in the participating hospitals by more than 17,750 days. The report also claims participating hospitals reduced early elective baby deliveries, which can increase complications, by 90%, catheter-associated urinary tract infections by 44%, adverse drug effects by 28%, central line-associated bloodstream infections in intensive care by 24%, surgical site infections by 24%, patient falls by 23%, and avoidable readmissions by 11%. Taking a look now at world headlines at this hour, Malaysian authorities say they're looking at the possibility of hijacking to explain the disappearance of a Malaysian Airlines jet Saturday over the South China Sea with 239 people on board. Meanwhile, a search involving 34 aircraft and 40 ships from several countries covering a 50 nautical mile radius has yet to find any evidence. And investigators are looking into whether two passengers carrying stolen passports and one-way tickets are connected to the disappearance. The father of Connecticut school shooter Adam Lanza says what his son did couldn't get any more evil, and he wishes his son hadn't been born. Peter Lanza told the New Yorker magazine that he believes his son would have killed him if he'd had the chance. After killing his mother, Adam Lanza killed 20 first graders and 6 educators at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, on December 2012. The teen then killed himself when police arrived. And Japan says it won't change its 1993 apology over a system of forced prostitution for its military during World War II. The country has come under fire from Asian neighbors for setting up a team to review history and verify the accuracy of interviews with women who said that they were worked as sex slaves for Japanese soldiers before and during the war. Japanese nationalists have long insisted that tens of thousands of women who worked in wartime brothels were voluntary prostitutes. A major survey tracking the rollout under the new health care law finds that the rate of uninsured people continues to go down. The Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index finds that this year 15.9% of Americans remain uninsured. It was 17.1% for the last 3 months of 2013. Gallup says the percent of Americans lacking coverage is on track to drop to the lowest level quarterly. It's measured since 2008, before President Obama took office. And finally in the news, a skydiver injured when a small plane crashed into him near Tampa, Florida, says he'll jump again. 49-year-old John Frost told ABC's Good Morning America program that he's sore and has some bruises but no broken bones. Frost's parachute got entangled with a small plane on Saturday. Officials say the pilot was doing a takeoff and landing maneuvers in his Cessna near the South Lakeland Airport when he encountered the skydiver. They were about 75 feet above the ground. News time is 8:12.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Starlet Line, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV store where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus 2 additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
In the funeral announcements, Mary Hewitt, age 86, of Benora, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Mary Hewitt will be today at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Benora. Marie Georgina Jeweler Ross, age 92, of Kansas City, Missouri, and formerly of the Marney, Cumberland, and Council Bluffs areas, died Friday. Funeral services for Marie Ross will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Cutler, O'Neill, Meyer, and Woodring Bayless Park Chapel in Council Bluffs. Clyde Fromm, age 89, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Clyde Fromm will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Abel Jonathan Kinsey, of Atlantic, the infant son of Nathan Kinsey and Jody Brookshire of Atlantic, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Abel Kinsey will be Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Betty Jean Kent, age 80, of Palm Desert, California, and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Thursday in California. Memorial services for Betty Kent will be on Friday at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Clarence Klein, age 98, of Elkhorn, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Services for Clarence Klein are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Inez Peckham, age 84, of Bayard, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Inez Peckham are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. And Betty Vogesser, age 87, of Avoca, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Services for Betty Vogesser are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you this morning by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.